Bibles, if you will, and let's turn tonight to Proverbs 29 and verse 18. We're talking about vision, and we want to be able to carry out that vision and do it for the glory of God this year, and we want to be one in doing it together. So important that we understand that it takes all of us working, laboring together, getting involved at some point in ministry, and doing a job for the glory of God. Many of you are already doing that. Thank God for you. Others need to join in. Amen? They need to get on board and help us out and get involved in ministry or get re-involved in a ministry that maybe they quit on or something of that nature. But we need to talk about this vision tonight. Here's a good definition of vision. You say, what do you mean, preacher, by vision? What are you talking about when you say we need vision? Let me give you this definition. You may want to jot it down in your Bible. It's a pretty good definition, I think. A picture, vision is a picture of the future that produces a passion in you. Vision is a picture of the future. Think about what we want to accomplish in our church this year. A picture of the future that produces a passion in you. Not your neighbor, necessarily. We want them to get it too, but God's speaking to you. It has to become yours. You need to buy into the vision of the leadership of Worth Baptist Church if you're a member of this church. Amen? Amen? We need to do it. Now, if that's not the case, if you don't want to follow the leadership that God has put here, one of two things needs to happen. You need to get new leadership or you need to get another church. But we need to follow the leadership and the vision that God has placed in this church. And it starts right here in the pulpit. It starts with me. It starts with our staff. And I believe that our staff are men of vision. I believe that our deacons are men of vision. They're not just guys who are trying to run everything. They're men of vision. They want to get something done. And that's biblical because this verse in Proverbs 29:18 says, where there is no vision, the people perish or waste away. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. And I know that refers to a vision back in that day, but it's a principle of God for us tonight. If we don't have vision, so what is your vision tonight? It should be a picture of the future, this church, that produces a passion in you. And vision, real vision, if you catch the vision is something that moves people to action. We're going to be moved to action. We're not just going to say, well, that's good. The preacher's got a vision. I'm glad he's got a vision. Bless his heart. And he's supposed to have one, you know. And I'm glad the staff do. Bless their hearts. We pay them to have a vision. No, friend, you should have a vision. That vision should just saturate and permeate every member of Worth Baptist Church. Every one of us should have that kind of vision. And God wants us to have vision so that we can accomplish what we want to accomplish for God. If we're going to have vision, we need to look back, I believe, and be thankful. I'm so thankful tonight for what God has done for us. And I know if God can do what He's done, and the almost $2 million that we had to raise and all of that, that's a lot of money for us, isn't it? A lot of money for people. But we know God supplied it through you, and you stepped out by faith and acted on that faith, most of you, and God honored it, didn't He? And we've heard testimonies of people who said, we stepped out by faith in Faith Promise Missions or in giving to the Walk Worthy campaign and the various things that we've done, and we know that God took care of it. We look back in the past and see what God already has done. And God has blessed this church 60 years going on, coming up 61 years. And God is the one who ought to get the glory for it. But don't forget, the same God who did that in the past can do it in the future and do more and reach more and have greater results for His glory. We've had a number of people saved, and I talked about that this morning, where we've had 147 people that were saved. Well, I'd like to see us have 200 saved next year or more, wouldn't you? We had 57 baptized. We need to do better than that. We need to have a higher percentage of people baptized. We need to work and work on those people who get saved and see them come to the Lord and be baptized and follow the Lord. We need to see them discipled to become mature people in the Lord. We look back on what God has done. God's done some wonderful things. Our missions offering, thank the Lord, $354,000 in our missions year, our physical missions year, and that's good. I know churches a lot bigger than this that don't do half that. And that's to your credit, and God honors that, and thank you for being missions-minded. I would not want to pastor a church that wasn't missions-minded. If we just pulled in and took care of ourselves and said, let the rest of the world go to hell, God wouldn't be pleased with that. Thank God we are a missions-minded, missions-giving church. You can say that any way you want to. People argue about how you say that. But the fact is, we're a missions-minded church, that we're giving money to missions to reach a lost and dying world. I'd like to see us do 400,000. You say, yeah, you preachers are never satisfied. Well, I don't think we're supposed to be if we're people of vision. We should be wanting to do more for God, and we can do more for God. And thank God for what we've been able to do. We almost averaged 500 in the morning worship service this year. We can do better than that. A church our size, if everybody get on board, we can do a whole lot better than that. We're talking about vision. We can see, what do you want, preacher? Well, I want to see more people saved. We look back on last year. Thank God for all of these good reports. Thank God for what we've been able to do. God did it through us, and God enabled us to do it. But I do believe that we need to look ahead. Looking ahead, we can do more. Look back, be encouraged. Thank God we're not disappointed, but looking ahead, trust Him to give us a better year, a good year. Reaching new goals for the glory of God. Reaching more souls for the glory of God. Having a vision of eternity. Having a stronger vision of hell. Let me tell you, friend, hell is a real place. We Christians need to get very concerned and disturbed about people dying and going to hell. If you're here tonight and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, may I encourage you tonight to be saved so that you don't risk dying and going to an eternal hell, being separated from God forever and ever. If I were not saved, I wouldn't leave this building tonight without getting saved. I wouldn't care what people thought. I wouldn't care what the devil might put in my mind to try to keep me from doing it. I would not leave this building tonight if I didn't know 100% for sure that I'm saved and going to meet the Lord. And if you're here like that tonight, probably in a congregation this big, a crowd this big, there are some people here who cannot say, I know I would go to heaven and I wouldn't go to hell. But I say that to remind us as believers, we need a new vision of what hell's like. People die and go to hell. They're there forever. They can't get out. They're punished forever and ever. There's no end to it. There's no annihilation of the soul and the spirit. It goes on forever and forever and forever. You say, well, I can't comprehend all of that. Well, you better believe it, because that's what God says in this book. There is a hell. We need to do all we can by the grace of God. With all of our warts and all of our limitations, we can do better and reach people and get a vision of hell and try to keep them out of hell. But we want to look forward and have more people saved. You say, what are your goals? More people saved. You say, well, that's we always have that goal. You're right. We want to see more people saved. And then we want to see our homes strengthened in our church. The homes, the devil is attacking our homes like never before. We want to see homes strengthened, parents strengthened. We want to bring new converts into our church and into baptism and into spiritual maturity. We want to disciple them and bring them along so that they come to spiritual maturity. We want to reach a lost world with the gospel. Now, how are we going to do these things? How are we going to do it? Well, one thing we need to do is shore up the ministries we already have. We have some good ministries here, don't we? I'm a Sunday school man. I believe in Sunday school. And I believe the Sunday school is, that ought to be your natural support group. And in Sunday school, you ought to be involved. And in Sunday school, thank God we have Sunday school teachers who tell little children how to be saved. And Sunday a week ago, we had two little girls about 9-10 years of age. They were followed up on Saturday by one of our bus workers, Brother Miller. Those two little girls got saved in Sunday school class. I'm glad. We don't try to talk them into it and force them into it and trick them into it. We tell our teachers, be observant, watch. And if you see God working in their lives, talk to them. And many of them get saved in the Sunday school. The Sunday school is an arm that reaches out. It's an evangelistic arm like any other ministry of our church. Thank God for that. Thank God for our bus ministry. Those two little girls came in on the bus. I was up in the youth department Sunday a week ago in Sunday school. Went up there. Dr. Barber was in here, so I like to go and be somewhere else when he's here like that. And as I looked across the congregation there up there, those congregated up there, I noticed about at least maybe a half of them were kids that came in on the buses. Thank God for the bus ministry. These children would not ever maybe get to hear the gospel unless somebody cared enough to go by. I think we can do better in our bus ministry, do better in our Sunday school, have more people coming. Our Reformers Unanimous ministry, thank God for that ministry. It has probably produced more souls for Christ this year than any other ministry we have. As far as results, people getting saved. Most of the time, the RU people will sit back over in this area right here. I love to look out there and see them. I like to see everybody, but I like to see them. Because I know that there are people, some of them, with problems, and they've had challenges in their life. And you and I, if we had been raised like them, if we'd have had the same circumstances, we might have the same challenges. Only God knows. Thank God for His grace. And I'm glad for the Reformers Unanimous ministry, where about 80 or so meet on Friday night. It takes a lot of workers there, and I believe we're going to do a better job even in that this year. I thank God for our music ministry. And if you can sing, you ought to be in the choir. You say, well, I used to be in the choir. What'd you quit for? Well, I didn't like the ministry of music. Well, you're not serving him no more than you're serving me. And most people like him. You may be one of the oddballs that didn't like him, but you need to get your heart right, get back in the choir, amen? You're not serving him. You're not serving me. You're serving Almighty God. And if you have the ability to sing, one of my desires is to see this choir loft totally filled and in a church our size. And I've been saying that for 17 years and it hasn't happened yet. I still believe it's going to happen. But thank God for our music ministry, our youth ministry. We have live streaming now that's a blessing to a lot of people, a number of different ministries, and I don't want to leave any ministry out, but we just thank God for every one of them, and we want to do better, shore them up, do better in those ministries for the glory of God. But what are some of the other things we're going to try to do? Vision without a plan to carry out that vision just won't work. And so one of the things we're going to do is we're starting warm contact evangelism. Now, I've been through all the soul winning programs. Let's Go Soul Winning of Jack Hiles, Operation Go with David Wood, and the different ones that are out there, and the last one we did here that is a model from Lancaster and all of that, and they've all been good. there have been others, Evangelism Explosion. But this one is a little different. It's different in the sense that it puts us in contact with people. And you'll discover that the more people you personally win to the Lord and follow up and work with and challenge and you reach on a one-to-one basis, they are more apt to stay and be in church and get baptized than anybody else. And we're going to have special emphasis on different months of groups that we want everybody in the church to reach. There'll be some training, there'll be some enlisting and all of that, but we're going to challenge people. Maybe 1 month, it just comes to my mind, we'll try to reach firemen, amen? And try to reach them. Maybe police 1 month. Maybe those in the health care 1 month. And a variety of different things. And we'll explain more of that as we go along. But that's one way we're going to try to carry out that vision. Warm contact evangelism. And I hope you will buy into it and get involved in it. And the material is good and it'll be a blessing. And if we'll follow it and have a broken heart, God will use it. And we'll see more people saved than we've ever seen saved. We ought to have a lot more people saved in this church than we do. We really should. Would anybody say amen to that? You know it's the truth. We ought to have more people saved than we have saved. We ought to pack this auditorium out and someday have to build a new one. You say, I'm satisfied. I don't think we ever do that. God help you to get a little vision. It's possible. Suppose they'd have thought that before they built this building. Suppose they'd have thought that before they left the storefront in the original place of the Worth Baptist Church and all of that. No, we need to be people of vision. Warm contact evangelism. And then teaching discipleship. We will start next Sunday. We were going to start it. Some started some of it this morning, but the material was not quite here. And they had a big breakdown on some of their main printing presses and all and at the printing company. But that will be ready and available. We're going to have student manuals for you to go through, and the teachers will be teaching that, and we'll be talking about discipleship and many aspects of that and really trying to thrust out and get started in that type thing to really get you involved in it. We're starting a new ministry called Divorce Care, and we've already mentioned that. It's on the calendar, and that ministry is going to be a good ministry. It's going to help. And the idea is not just to minister to those in our church that have gone through that, but to reach out. Every ministry we have is an outreach ministry. Reaching out, reaching out, reaching out to people that need help, to people who need this kind of support group. We're going to have parenting classes, not only for our young couples and couples, but for others who might hear about it and come. And the material is fantastic. It's good. It's first class, and a lot of visuals, a lot of things that go along with that. We're going to try to stir up our minds to missions and have at least 2 short-term missions trips. One to Guatemala, and then one to the Philippines. Doris is from Guatemala, right? And both of you are from Guatemala. Were you from Guatemala? No, you were born in the United States. Bless you. You need to go on this trip and see where your folks used to live. But Guatemala and the Philippines. Brother Tyler and some of them went over there to the Philippines. I've been there. Listen, wide open missions. It'll break your heart. If you can go on one of these short-term missions trips, borrow the money, do whatever you have to have. Dave Ramsey would tell you not to do that. Well, get it from your cousin or something. But make a trip and let your heart be broken for the rest of the world and our world right here. We want to shore up our ministries and be involved in some of these ministries, and I hope you'll realize that there is a method to our vision and our madness to get the job done for the glory of God. We don't want to just percolate. We don't want to just stagnate. We don't want to just come to this place of a dry, dry, dry rock of complacency. I don't want to die on the dry rock of complacency, do you? We ought to have new vision, new horizons, reaching up, reaching forward, reaching out to get the job done for the glory of God. And we believe that God's going to allow us to do that. So we need to look forward. We need to look around. What do you mean? Look around. There are places of service where we need you. And don't just come to the pastor and say, I want to serve somewhere, and then not follow through with that. Find out. I might give you 2 or 3 areas, but you find your place, get plugged in, and start serving God. What would be wrong? What would be wrong if everybody in the church got involved in this warm contact evangelism? What would be wrong with it? Nothing. What would be right with it? Everything. Everybody getting involved. You mean me, preacher? Yeah, you. Yes, you. You're a member of the church. This is the vision of the church. This is the God-given program, ministry of the church, these ministries. Find your place, get plugged in, be involved. If you're already there, just do a better job. We can always do a better job. Amen? We can always do more for the glory of God. Some people are having to take two or three different jobs because other people won't do it. And they think everybody else is doing the job. But we need people to get involved. In every ministry, we need more people involved. And in these new ministries, we're going to need you to get involved. And especially in the warm contact evangelism, we want to see you get involved and in discipleship. We need to look around. There are plenty of places to serve God. And find that place. If you see a need, just say, "Preacher, here I am. I'm available to do that." And if you're not sure, talk to the staff. Talk to me. Talk to some of the staff people. We'll tell you where to get involved. We'll tell you where the needs are. And there's so many different needs. Some of you retired people, volunteer your time. Call us and tell us, "Hey, what can I do at the church? I'm bored with playing golf and fishing all the time, sitting around the house and arguing with my wife or mate. And there's something I can do down at the church, isn't it, preacher?" Yeah, come down. There are a lot of things you can do here. We can have you stuff mailers. We can have you do a lot of different things that are available here. Maybe paint a classroom. Maybe something. And I hope you can paint if you volunteer to do that. But do some of those things. Be together, everybody. Oneness, unity. Serving God together. Getting the job done for the glory of God. Then I think we ought to look up. Expect the Lord to come this year. You say, "Well, then why do we want to do all this?" He said, "Occupy till I come." That doesn't mean sit on a pew till I come. That's not what he meant. Occupy means get involved. Occupy means buy into the vision. Occupy means be part of that oneness. And if you're not a member of this church, you're a member of another church, go back to that church after you hear this message and tell your pastor, "I want to get involved in my church. I want to buy into what y'all are doing and the vision that you have and get it done for the glory of God." Look up, because Jesus might come this year. You know that? If he doesn't, I pray we'll have a good year. If the rapture comes, I'm not going to worry about it. I'll leave that for Brother Rigsby and two or three others who might still be around here. No. What could be greater than the rapture this year? But we can't just sit on our laurels and say, "Well, the rapture might happen this year. What good does it do? I can't do much." God said, "Occupy till I come." Stay busy for God. Put God first. Your financial portfolio is not first. Your material gain's not first. Your pleasure's not first. All of those other things shouldn't be first in your life or my life. What should be first in our life should not be boyfriend or girlfriend or some other thing in our lives. The thing that ought to be first in our lives is God, Jesus, number one. Buy into it. And say, "I'm not going to sit around and do nothing. I'm going to be involved. I'm going to have energy for God. I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to pray. I'm going to have the power of the Holy Spirit on my life. I'm not going to sit back and just soak and sour. I'm going to get out and do something. Get up and move. Get up and serve God." That's what God expects out of us for this year. And if we'll do that, friend, we'll have a good year. Let's stand, please. I'd like to challenge you and encourage you tonight to make some new commitments to God. Make a commitment that you're going to pray for these new ministries and all of these ministries. And then would you in your own heart say, "God, I open my heart to you tonight. Wherever you want to use me, whatever you want me to do, I'm willing to do it. I want to get involved. I want to see more souls saved. Maybe you could come and seal that at the altar tonight. Some of you are not physically able to do that. Do it where you are. Not everybody can come to the altar. Not everybody will be led to come to the altar. But I believe some will. And now let me say this to you. If you're not saved, step out to the aisle, wherever you are, just the aisle nearest you, and come down the front. I'll be down there. These workers will be here. Our men will be in place, and others, ladies, will be ready to talk to you. And come and say, I want to be saved. That's the number one thing tonight. The number one thing is for you to know if you died tonight, if you drew your last breath, and can you guarantee anybody that you want tonight that you're saved, that you're born again? You say you're trying to frighten me into it, preacher. Say what you want. I know that hell's real, and I know I don't want you to go to hell, and I know this church doesn't, and I know Jesus doesn't, and he's paid the price. Without worrying about what people think, just step out and come. Meet us down the front. Let's seal some decisions with God tonight. Would you do that? Would you take the appeal and the vision and the heart of the staff and myself and our leadership and say, preacher, you can count on me. We'll buy into it. We'll be available. We'll do what we can and even do a better job than what we've been doing. Father, I pray you'd challenge and stir our hearts tonight. Thank you for your love. Thank you for Jesus. We know that we're not our own. We've been bought with a price, the precious blood of the Lord, not silver or gold. Help us to have commitments unto thee, O God, to be exactly what Jesus prayed that we would be, one together. We know in John 17 he prayed that the world would see that in us, our love, our unity, our togetherness, our burden, our passion, and they would come to Christ also. That's in his prayer there. We know we've read it and read it. So God, speak to our hearts, break our hearts. You're the only one who can do it. I cannot do it to these people, God. I wish I could, but I can't. You have to do it. And help that soul that's not saved to come and be saved tonight. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.